Hello, everyone. This is Life Cope, LLC. We're a self-help podcast out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is Nancy Perez coming from Studio 916 with another episode of Women Who Inspire. Ever since the beginning of this year, I really wanted to start highlighting women in my community who are doing amazing things, who I personally find inspiration from, but who I think others will find inspiration from also. So today I'm super excited and super stoked that this awesome woman is here, Julie Ramirez, or Jules, whichever one you feel comfortable addressing her as. Thank you for being here. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. So I met Jules, what was it? Maybe...
I'm like, there's so many... potential times.
I know, right? We intersect at so many different things, right? In the community, but I don't know when I met you. All I know is that I was like, wow, this woman is doing so many things in the community, and I was kind of like, this is cool, you know. I was trying to feel you out, just like everybody else, right? And I was just like, the more I saw you in action, that I was like, where does she find the time? Like, there's only 24 hours in a day. And then this last week, there was a commencement for a community advocate training that happened. And this was the third round, right?
Yep.
And, you know, you were up there and I could see how proud you were of the people graduating. And I could see, like, it wasn't about you. It was truly about them and, like, what they can accomplish and what they have accomplished, like, past graduates, and, like, how that moves us together as community. And, it, like, that alone is beautiful. But right there, I realized, like, I don't really know you, right? Like, I see you a lot, but I don't really know you. And I just want to know, like, where do you get inspiration from? Like, where does this drive come, you know, from for you to, like, be so involved in community? And it's not even about you. It's really about, like... how can I help my people move along? And when we're talking about people, is like, we're talking about Southeast, right? So we're at Studio 916, and we've had other episodes. And if some of you guys have been here for a while, you probably remember some of these where I talk about Southeast and I talk about, you know, the disparities of this side of town and, you know, the differences and how culturally diverse and ethnically diverse it is and how forgotten it gets, right? Like, in our city. So where does Julie Ramirez, like, where do you get your inspiration from? Where does that drive come from?
So I often think of 2016 as the year that got me here. It was just a roller coaster ride the entire year. I was living in Denver, going to school to MSU Denver, and I ended up moving back to Southeast after being away kind of back and forth for several years after graduating high school. Okay. And so I moved back here and, you know, having been through college, I mean, I was almost done, but having gone through the college experience and, you know, being more educated, more woke, I was, like, looking around, like, why are things the way they are in this community? So I was just going through that process. And then shortly after moving back, my dad actually passed away from leukemia. And that was a crazy experience because he had people at his bedside, like, day in and day out because he had impacted his community so deeply. And so... having witnessed that and then him passing away, like, I was like, whoa, I have a legacy to live up to.
Yeah.
Like, this is big. So they even named August 14th in the city of Fayetteville, North Carolina, Julio Ramirez Day. So,
oh, that's so beautiful. So, chills, literal chills. That is so special. I think that you can take, you know, inspiration and drive from others, right? And even if it's a seemingly negative event, right? Like, I think we all go through negative points in our lives or points of challenge. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative or positive. It's just a challenging moment in life. And how beautiful that you took that from it, that you were able to realize, like, I have an example to follow and I have a name to live up to. And I love that because it's legacy and it's family and it's, like, just, like, the keeping on of a tradition or of a... you can create a tradition out of it, right? Like, where it's like, that's what you do. But, man, that's beautiful. I love that. Yeah. Aw. So what else? Like, so you got back to this, you know, Southeast Colorado Springs, and that moment happened in your life. And then what?
So it was kind of just, it kept going. 2016 was a crazy year. So shortly after that, in July of 2016, Jesse Garcia was shot and killed. And he's somebody that I had known since middle school and, like, you know, you'd seen stuff happening throughout the country, but this was, like, hitting home this time. And I saw, you know, how the media handled things, how community handled things, how, right. you know, the people that are supposed to protect and serve us handled things. Mm-hmm. And so still that mindset, like, whoa, things got to change here. And then I was in my last semester of college, and it was teaching content literacy. And so basically the teacher was telling us, like, you got to realize, so I went to school for education. Mm-hmm. And so the teacher was telling us, you know, you got to realize these kids are coming in with so much more weight than you realize.
Yeah.
And so you're not just teaching them, you know, facts and history and all of that, but you're teaching them how to cope and still get by day to day, and how you have to draw this information out of them despite all the challenges they're facing in their homes.
Ugh. Whew. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you had that teacher, because that is, I think that that is such a missing piece from our education system, to be honest, because, like, I was in school and I could barely speak English, right, because I came into this country, and, like, a teacher's just trying to move along, right? Like, they're right. just trying to keep the class going. And then there's, like, that kid that gets left behind because you have a special need or requirement or you're different.
Yeah.
And, like, especially in Southeast, we know that. We know that our youth is going through so many real-life things. Parents, you know, are working multiple jobs, or there's single-parent homes. There's a lot of economic challenges. And it's hard when it's locally, you know, mm-hmm. like when you see things locally, and I can't imagine even knowing the person, like, personally, like, how that must hit, because, you know, I've done an episode on, like, state of affairs, and it just seems like I could do an episode on that all the time, because there's something always happening in the world, but when it's in your own backyard, like right now, you know, we're going through things, we're going through motions, like, something just happened, what, maybe weeks ago, maybe yeah. it's been a month and a half, if that. And then you realize when you have personal run-ins, right, you realize, like, oh, like, it's real. The things people talk about is real. Like, until mm-hmm. it happened to me and I got pulled over and I got, like, treated like a piece of fucking garbage, I never thought, like, that was possible for me, right? Like, I just thought, like, I'm an exception to the rule somehow. But really, like, it's just, it is the culture that is within some of those institutions.
Right.
And that's not to talk and dog on anyone that chooses that profession. I have a few friends who are. And if you're listening, this is real. And you have to take some of these things into consideration, because, like, this is what's affecting us in this country right now, and, like, especially here in this neighborhood. But I, you know, I feel for you. And, like, again, a moment that could have, you could have been angry, and you could have taken that anger and been like, I hate this, I hate that. Mm-hmm. And be a keyword warrior, like so many people are, right? Like, yeah. not to take anything away from those who share things on social media, but for me, like, when I was part of the Women's March, right, I was like, what more can I do? Because I don't just want to stand in front of people and pretend that I care, and mm-hmm. pretend that I'm trying to do something for my community, and then I'm, like, not really doing anything. And that's why now I do everything I do. I have the job that I have, because literally I was just like, what, how can I use what I have for good? Mm-hmm. I love that you took an approach similar to that, because you're doing so much good.
Yeah.
So 2016, challenging year, but also, like, almost a rebirth of who we're seeing here.
Exactly.
Could you imagine being here in 2016?
No, not at all. I was in such a different place. Like, throughout that whole course, too, we were, like, telling our stories throughout this course. And, like, the whole time I was kind of, like, they don't want to hear my story. Like, what do I have to give? And the more I went through that course, I was realizing, like, my voice and my story is powerful. And mm-hmm. I was thinking about my own community now, because now I have to impact them.
So what is your story? When you think of your story, what do you tell yourself? Aside from these big moments that have happened, like, what is Jewel's story?
Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
What is my story? So I grew up here in Southeast. Mm-hmm. My family moved here in the 70s, so they've seen all of the changes of Colorado Springs.
Wow.
I was born in Fort Bragg. My dad was military. He's first generation from Mexico.
Wow.
And but he was military, obviously, so
yeah.
didn't really grow up with him. I grew up with my white mother, so... Mm. Growing up here was kind of a really confusing time for me, because here I am growing up with my white family, and then I'm going to school where it's totally diverse. And mm-hmm. so trying to find where I fit in was kind of challenging. You know, I was into wearing, you know, skater shoes and listening to rock music. And then I would go to school and all my friends are into hip hop and rap. I mean, I still liked all of that, yeah. but it was like in my home, I was, that's where I, what it was, you know?
That was your identity.
Exactly. And so then going to school, I remember hearing people tell me, like, you don't count as being white. And so I was just like, I don't understand anything. Like, this world doesn't make sense.
Right.
But it was still, like, I can't, like, people recently actually asked me, like, hey, we have this scholarship program, and we want to send, you know, kids from Harrison or Sierra to, like, a better school. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
I was like, and they were asking me, like, what I thought of that. And I was like, well, as somebody who grew up here, like, the most valuable thing was the people. And so you're taking these kids away from the people for, like, a better education.
Wow.
I guess, maybe, who knows?
What a nice way to say your schools are not up to par to what we think is right. a good school.
Exactly.
If you are here locally in Colorado Springs and you don't live in Southeast, like, let me tell you, Sierra and Harrison are so different. Like, you talk to some of those kids, and I have some of those kids, like, through my job, some of those kids are in my youth liaison, and you speak to some of these kids, and they're adults. They're adults. And, like, I don't care how old they are. Like, every time I talk to them, they're adults. The way they carry themselves. And, like, especially Sierra High School, like, there's so many programs to graduate with, like, an associate's or some sort of, like technical skill or yeah. trade skill. Like, how many schools do you see that are doing as much as some of these schools in Southeast are? So, like, when people talk down on that, like, I get really irritated because I'm just like, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're just
yeah.
judging. Again, this is what happens on this side of town, right?
Yeah.
So, for you, identities crossed. Like, yeah. they had to, right? Like, you're biracial. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
So, I'm learning, right? Yeah. I'm learning. Like, I see you everywhere. But again, I didn't know that. Like, that has to be a challenge on its own, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always interested on hearing those kinds of voices because I feel like we often, you know, when we cover identity, I feel like biracial voices, especially if you have a white mom, get muted more.
Yeah.
I see it all the time on social media, on platforms. I see it, like, in personal life. Like, I see it all the time. And, like, in Texas, where I came from before I moved to Colorado 7 years ago, like, you see that a lot. You see a lot of Mexican and white kids because, you know, you're yeah. in Texas.
Right.
And it's just normal. But, like, here, I feel like there's almost, like, this, I don't want to call it a stigma, but there's definitely, like, the fact that kids have to tell you, like, you don't count as white. But that's half of you. Like, yeah. it's still, you can't just be like, okay, half of me, like, bye. So how do you deal with that? Like, how do you deal with those crossing of identities, even now, into adulthood?
I'm just getting to that point where I own it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm more aware of, like, the term white to me even is just, like, we need to throw that out.
Yes.
We just need to toss it out. Like,
yes.
My family, crazy enough, my family comes from, you know, Germany, Austria. And okay. I have a grandpa named Adolf from Austria. I'm just like, okay.
Funny.
And so I mean, it is what it is. I am who I am.
Yes.
And so you're going to take it or leave it. And mm-hmm. so it is something that I think about from time to time, though, because I hate, like, wondering if somebody's going to feel some type of way because I do have a white mom. And they just, like you're saying, like, they don't value what I'm saying as much because of it.
Yeah.
But I think we just live in a time where we're all in that place. Like, yeah. we're all struggling because we're all a mix of whatever, you know?
And this is the thing. And I gave a speech at a college class, and, like, this is one of the things that I pointed out to them. I was like, in America, it's the only place where you're willing to let go of your culture just to fit under that white umbrella.
Exactly.
Like, anyone who identifies as white in this country has culture, has traditions, has, like, you come from somewhere, mm-hmm. right? Hello, go figure that out. Like, literally, we have the technology. Like, I did, like, that DNA, because people always ask me, like, what I was mixed with, and I'm like, I'm Mexican. I come from Mexico. Like, that's it. And then I did that, and then I learned so much about myself, And then I always encourage people, like, find about, you know, your culture. Like, find those traditions, those things that, like, make it special. And stop just, like, just being okay with this umbrella of white. Because I think that's literally the division. It just creates more division, right? Because it's, like, white is inherently bad because of it. Like, okay, we're not gonna undo the injustices that have happened in this country, right? So what can we actually do, you know? I think start learning about your own culture and stop focusing on other people's. Right. Like, learn really where you come from, and then you'll realize, like, wow, my peoples are also special. And yes, these atrocities happen, and these things have happened, and colonization. And it's Europe colonized, like, Africa and South America. Like, it's not just the United States. And I hate when people forget, like, world history. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, people are so fixated with, like, the now. And then again, there's that white umbrella where it's more comfortable just to be like, I'm white, instead of being like, I'm Dutch, or I'm this, or I'm Irish, or I feel like the only time people claim Irish is, like, during St. Patrick's Day, you know?
Right.
But other than that, I'm like, where is that love for your culture and your heritage? I'm not saying get stuck in that identity, but I'm saying that could really help us as a society understand one another more, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like, I shouldn't judge you based on the fact that you have a white mom, but I will tell you, I will be raw and honest, I have judged people in the past, mm-hmm. right? Like, for it, it's fucked up. Yeah. It's not cool. And that's when I had to get rid of my bias, right? Because you can have biases towards any group of people, and you can make, you know, assumptions, but that's what they do to us.
Exactly.
Right? So I think sometimes we think, well, we're going to do it right back to them. But again, we're just in this never-ending cycle of hate, and what is that going to do for us?
Exactly.
So I'm glad that you're, like, willing to speak on those, you know, crossing of identities, because we need more biracial voices. And I have tried, like, connecting with other people who have, you know, intersections, and I feel like they're not willing to lend that voice. Mm-hmm. There's almost like this, I don't know if it's fear or lack of, I don't know.
Right.
But what do you think it is from your perspective?
We just live in, like, a politically correct time. Mm. And mm-hmm. where, like, racial tensions are so high, and it's frustrating.
It is.
It's frustrating.
It's hard. It is. It is hard. But how do you dismantle some of these things that you see, not only in your personal life because of the intersections that you have, not only through your job because of the people that you work with, but, like, what do you do? Like, what can you change? What can Jules control?
Well, I think that's the main reason why I wanted to get into education.
Mm.
And you know, I have been able to do that with the advocate training. Like, really the root cause of what's going on in Southeast is, you know, the redlining and mm-hmm. Inequities, health inequities.
Yes.
And that happens because of the racist past that we have in Colorado, mm-hmm. sadly. And so I think people don't even realize that. And, like, that's one of the first things we cover is, like, the social determinants of health. And it's like, look at all of these things that impact your health. Like, yes. There's a reason why these aren't being met in our neighborhoods. Like, so just teaching that and making people aware of that, I think, is, like, step one. Like, we have to figure out a way to at first realize that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went to this Undoing Racism workshop, and that was one of the first things we did, was kind of talk about, like, what, like, describe a poor person. So, like, what do they look like? Okay. And why are they poor now? So, like, we often associate, like, a poor person with what they, like, look like or what they're doing, not, like, what put them in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that put them in that position are the institutions. And so if you start realizing that's what's going on, like, it's a long process, and it's going to take a while, but it's a trickle effect, so.
Absolutely.
The more people that we can have that are, like, aware of those things, then we'll get to conquer it eventually.
Right. But that's, see, right there. So that's the big part that you're taking in, because it's like, you went to this training, and now you're passing that knowledge along, right? And now we're getting to listen to it. And people who are taking the community advocate, you know, classes are taking something from it. And that's beautiful. And, again, so much work to be done, but it's You got to start at step one with everything you do in life, right? You guys are for those of you that are listening, like, you're here, and it might be your first episode that you're listening to. It could be, you know, your 50th or 70th episode that you're listening to. But the thing is like, can you get something out of it? Is it your step one, right? Like, everybody has a step to start on. Like, right. We're all in different levels on our journey, whatever that journey might look like, whatever. And I feel like you choose, right? We choose what we want to focus on. And people are often like, oh, POCs, you know, they focus so much on racism and this and that. And it's like, well, when you know, when your people have been oppressed for hundreds of years and you're literally carrying that generational baggage because you've never healed from it, like, yeah, we're still going to be talking about right. it. Like, we're not going to get over it. It's so easy to get over something that doesn't personally affect you.
Exactly.
Right? So I love it. I love that you're doing that. I love that you're coming out to the, you know, and being part of the neighborhood, like, in every way, not just, I live here,
right?
Like, not just, like, you know, this is my zip code, but also, like, I work here, I, you know, this is my community, this is who I give back to, and that's amazing. But how do you take care of you? Like, at the end of the day, you're a human, right? And, right. like, you have to go home. How do you decompress? How do you get, like, what is the process for Jules? Like, walk me through it.
So the easiest, most convenient thing is Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, I love me some Netflix. I can binge watch shows all day.
Okay.
But the main thing that, like, really gets me to relax and decompress is getting into those mountains.
Yeah.
That are right behind you.
Yes,
they're
yes,
so pretty.
Yes.
Yeah, getting out and hiking. My grandma owns a cabin that's in, like, near Terreal Reservoir. And
ooh.
Going out there. And I spent the weekend out there last weekend. And
nice.
It's just like, we don't do anything. We're just, like, in the wilderness, and it's great. And I don't know. There's something about being outdoors.
You're preaching to the choir, girl. Like, I love, like, that. Seriously, it's free. Like, I hike because I'm like, it costs $0, you know. And, you know, being in that field now, like, I definitely see the transformative power of nature. And even, like, the healing power of just taking a walk outside in near, you know, trees for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It literally boosts your moods. Like, now we have research and things that's coming out, seeing how, like, nature healing and like even trauma, whether it's generational, right, or whether
yeah.
it's like something that you're going through, literally can heal you. And I love that. Like, I love that you're saying that, because, yeah, we are in beautiful Colorado, and you should go to those beautiful
exactly.
mountains.
Exactly, and it's crazy because people don't.
And people don't. But this is the thing, too. Like, so many people can't.
Exactly.
It's also a luxury, you mm-hmm. know? And people don't realize that. Like, yes, we live in beautiful Colorado, and yes, people travel from all over the world to see our backyard. But also, there's people that live 20 minutes from some of these places that have never been.
Right.
Because they think it costs money, or they don't have a vehicle, or parents work too many jobs and there's just no way, like, and you see that all the time. So I love that you take, you know, you take pride in the resources that we have, because as a community leader, people see that
mm-hmm.
and, like, it's like, oh, you know, if she can do it, I can do it too, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it's like setting that example. But also for you guys that are listening, like, oftentimes, right, we think that if we're on the community, we have to be, like, these perfect people that, like, you only do yoga to decompress and, you know, meditation. And if that's your thing, cool. Those things are amazing. But, like, watching Netflix can be self-care in itself, right?
Right.
And, I love that. I love that you're just like, I'll binge watch Netflix, because, like, so many people are afraid to admit some of those things. And it's like, we all do it. I mean, why
right.
do you think these companies are making, like, millions of dollars? But I feel like there's a stigma with, like, going home and just, like, sometimes you just want to decompress by not thinking about anything. And
exactly.
that's not, you know, not that's not putting a band-aid over things, because you're going to pick up right where you left off. But sometimes even something as simple as that. So for those of you that are listening, like, find what that looks like for you. And again, with all of these episodes is, I hope you get something out of it. If you don't, cool. Thanks for listening. But also, like, think of your life and think of what you're doing. What are you doing for your community? What are you doing for yourself? What are you doing for your identities? And how do those cross for you? And, you know, what do you think that you could do different tomorrow? Because that's the thing. We can always do something different tomorrow, right? And Julie, you're always doing different things in the community again.
Yes.
How do you balance home, work-life balance?
That's not a thing.
That is a thing, miss.
No, I totally, I have to time block my entire life. Like,
okay.
Literally everything is on my calendar. and in different colors and have reminders. And so just being able to do that and, like, seeing how my day is going to play out, that helps me, like, stay on track and prioritize. And it's a struggle because a lot of times, you know, I am doing too much. So it does get a little conflicting at times.
Yes.
But I'm trying. It's going to get better eventually. I'm just learning to prioritize. Like, that's the key, is prioritizing and figuring out, what do I really need to do today? Okay, get that done and then be done after that.
Yeah. So it's a work in progress.
Exactly.
Right now. Okay. I like that, though, because, like, we're not perfect, yeah. Right? And, like, I see that all the time, especially in Southeast. If you're doing things in Southeast, people will come to you because they want your voice and they want your opinion, or they want to know, well, you work with this community, so tell me how they want to be outreached or how they want to, you know, be yes. talked to. And it's like, go talk to them. I don't know. Like, figure it out. That's what I did, right? So I get that. Like, I get that. But you'll get there. You know, I think, like, that's a good way to start color coding. But I think you start to learn saying no.
Right.
And start saying, I can't at this moment. Thank you for considering me. I like that. I have reached capacity. Huh, I'm going to start using that one. Like,
that's a good one.
Like, right after this, I have to, like, go do a bunch of stuff because I got a thing to do, like, at midday today, tomorrow. And I'm just like, I hope Mondays is snow day.
I know. So I can just chill. Maybe 3 days snow day. It looks like we're going to get some snow.
Next week's supposed to be cold, right? So, yes, work in progress. I love it. I hope that you find the perfect work-life balance. But tell me a little bit about your home life. Like, tell me, like, let's get personal. If you want to, I want to know about you. Like, so I feel like, you know, we're talking about the community and what led you there, and that's beautiful, and I'm glad that you've had these experiences, although challenging, right? Yeah. Like, I'm thankful that our community has you, because we need you, and if it wasn't for these challenging moments, you wouldn't be who you are. And, you know, I constantly tell you guys that are listening that it is in those challenging moments that, like, so much can change within you, and you can really be propelled into other stages of your life that you could have never imagined. And so sometimes painful things happen and good things come out of it. But again, I want to remind you that pain is not necessary for you to be successful, and pain is also not necessary for you to be worthy of success. So always remember that, because when, you know, when we're talking about these things, like, it's easy to get in your head that it's like pain brings this big awakening within, and it's like, yeah, sometimes it does, but it's not necessary. I'm tired of people thinking that you have to suffer to be, you know, worthy of your success. So, get personal with me. Tell me, I just want to know, like, just, you know, what is home life for you? Like, what are some of your favorite things? I don't know, just tell me.
So, family-wise, I have a 5-year-old son.
Aww.
He's, like, the coolest kid I know.
What's his name?
Ambrose.
Ambrose?
Yeah.
I like that. How did you come up with that?
I was trying to go for something unique, of course.
Yeah.
And it's Greek for immortal.
Oh.
And I just thought, you know, setting the bar high for him.
Dope. Yeah.
Got a legacy to live up to.
Cute. 5-year-old.
Yeah. Aww. He's crazy. He's keeps me on my toes day and night. But yeah.
Oh man, that's beautiful. I love it. So so you're a mom.
Yeah.
So what are some of the challenges with being a mom, a community advocate, like, all of the things?
It definitely comes back to that time management thing. Like, it's hard juggling all of it. But he does have an active dad, and so
good.
He's with his dad half the time. And in a way, that's a blessing because it gives me time to try to get as much done as I can while he's gone. And then when he comes back, I have more time to focus on him. And,
So you have a good co-parenting relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
That is so healthy.
Yeah.
So wonderful to hear, because I feel like that is rare nowadays, unfortunately.
It does seem rare.
You know, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. So my bae is Chelsea.
Oh.
Yeah. We've been together for like 3 years.
Aw, congrats.
But she was my first female crush when I was like 15 years old.
That's so cute.
So yeah, we played cat and mouse for like 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to play hard to get.
I know, seriously. So, yeah, we finally made it official a few years ago.
Oh, so was it you seeking or was it her seeking?
Both.
Depending on the day. So it was cat and mouse kind of game. Exactly. That's hilarious. Yeah. I am always happy for those that have good love lives. I'm like, congratulations, I have met your partner at, was it the Cinco de Mayo gala, I think?
Yes.
It was a gala. Yes. It was some sort of event. And I was like, oh, this is lovely. You guys looked happy and like you were having a good time. So it's awesome to hear the backstory to that because I just, you know, it was just a casual hello.
Right.
So to hear that it's been a 10-year.
Yeah, well,
you know,
13.
Coming. Oh, well, technically 13, right? But three official. She finally, you know, you guys finally wielded each other down and was like, we're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Take this chance, huh? I love it. Taking a chance on love. Oh, you guys, isn't that beautiful? Like, if you're struggling with love right now, I hope you're feeling what I'm feeling, where it's like, you're slightly like, I'm happy for you, but also like, where's my bae? Where's my boo? When is that going to happen? It's coming, guys. We're abundant. We're attracting things into our reality. Our perfect partner is going to come, okay?
It apparently takes a lot of patience. Like, apparently, 10 years.
10 years. Okay, guys, are you listening to this? 10 years. So we have hope. It's all good. You know, like, I've been going on this, like, cat and mouse for, like, 6-7 months. So I'm like, oh, 6-7 months?
Just 9 more years.
9 more years to go. No problem. That's so funny. What else, Jules? What else? Like, I love this. Like, I'm getting, like, pieces of you that I don't think I could get out of meeting.
Yeah, no, definitely not. So my best friends, they've been a huge support to me. My friend Bree and my friend Rochelle.
Aww.
We're all going through, like, similar changes in our lives. And so, like, I've known Bree since I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've literally grown together. And Rochelle I've known since we were freshmen in high school. So, like, long friendships that are like we're at the same point, like blossoming, and so I couldn't ask for better friends at this point because they're just like they hold me accountable, they keep me going. They're such, like, we're so petty and immature when we get together, and so it's just a really good balance of being able to, you know, help push each other in professional and personal development, but also just being able to relax and enjoy each other's company.
Oh my gosh. A good supporting team literally can make or break you.
Really?
Like, wow. Like, honestly, like, I see that all the time where people, like, they're doing so much, but they don't have a good support system, and they crack so easy, and then they're gone. You know, like, you don't see them in the community anymore. They're not really doing things. And you talk to them, and it's usually like, I need a break. I got burned out.
Right.
And so having a good support system, whether you're doing community work or you're just an individual going through a lot of things in your life, like, a good support system can, you know, be a key thing to, like, propel you into that next step, right? Or hold you accountable, or just, like, good, fun times. I value friendships so much. All of my friendships are, like, over decades, right? Mm-hmm. And to hear other people that have friendships like that, it brings joy to me, because I think that harboring the relationships that we have that are good, like, focusing on those, not saying, like, no new friends, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that when we focus too much on, like, having too many friends, we don't really cultivate those around us that really want to see us succeed and really want to see us thrive. So that's wonderful that you have a good support system, because you need it.
Yeah.
You need it. Seriously. With everything you do and everything that's happening all the time in Southeast, like, it's good to have those people to pull from and be like, what do you think? Because they're also, you know, like, they're also going to have your back, and they're not going to, like, tell you something to, like, steer you wrong.
Right.
So how beautiful that you have that. Yeah. I'm so glad you have that.
Yeah.
So tell me, if you could, like, do anything different, or if you could change something about, like, what you have been doing, like, is there anything you would change?
I don't know. I'm in that weird place where that, like, everything happens for a reason.
I love that. Good answer.
So, I'm like, it literally feels like everything happened for a reason. Like, 2016. That all happened for a reason. And ever since then, it's just, like, that's how I see things, because it's, like, look where that got me. Like, that gave me drive to step into this community realm, and look where the community realm has got me. Like, I'm on my way to opening my own business in 2020.
Ooh.
So, I mean, yeah, it all happens for a reason.
I love that that's your answer, because it certainly does. Again, we would not be where we're at if it wasn't for these things, but here we are, right? You got to do the best that you can with what is there. So I heard a new business is opening. Yes. Like, tell me about that. Like, give me the inside scoop.
So I'll be opening up Stomping Grounds, the plug for interaction, inspiration, and innovation.
I love it.
It's a coffee shop and cocktail lounge. Ooh. I'm still playing with all of that, but that essentially it. Gives you the idea of what
yes,
it is.
Yes, 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 it does. Like, that's amazing. Not only are you working in the community, but now you're going to open a business in the community, give back to the community, and we need a place like that in Southeast, yeah. You know? There's not really a lot of places in Southeast to recreate or mm-hmm. to just chill and hang if you're a 20-something that doesn't drink, right? Or if you're just a 20-something, 30-something, 40-something that just wants to do get some work done with free Wi-Fi and exactly. a good cup of coffee, right? So I love that. We need that. But also, like, it's relevant, you know, mm-hmm. to our times. We need that kind of, like, a hub to be able to meet and have like-minded conversations like this, right? Where it doesn't require a studio or anything like that. It's just community coming together to have conversations that, like, are inspirational or are transformative or are just of value, right? Yeah. And so I'm so excited. I can't wait. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a really dope venture for you, and I think that you're just going to step into a whole other side of you. And I'm excited to yeah. see that growth for you. I think it's going to be, I mean, what a legacy to leave for your kid. Like, what really, like, that's empowering in itself. Yeah. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so excited, you know, to be there for the cutting, you know, of the ribbon.
Yes.
Like that.
Stay
like,
tuned.
Yes, yes. you gotta picture it, you know, like, it's really about that, like, collective vibration, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're doing good, I'm doing good. Collectively, we're raising that human consciousness, that vibration. And, like, who doesn't want to be doing good, right? And I think if those of you that are listening, if you're going through a rough time or if you're being challenged right now by life, right? You think things are hard, I can't do anything. Like, take inspiration from those who are doing things and from those who have been where you're at. And if this is your step one, tomorrow step two, right? So there's always something that's going to come. There's always something that's going to happen. It is how you react to it. It is how you deal with it. And it's what you do with it that really will entail what your life will look like, what things will feel like for you, and where your life will go. And I hope all of your lives goes to a good place. Jules, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I'm always so glad to see you, but especially today, learning more about you. I really see the person, the woman behind all of the work that's happening in Southeast. And I'm even more proud of the work that's happening because now I see how it's personal, right? And that you have that personal connection to it. And that's why it matters. That's why it's important, right? So for those that are listening at home, if they wanted to keep up with you, if they wanted to learn, you know, if they're here locally and they wanted to learn about the coffee shop, how can they keep up with you?
So for the coffee shop, Stomping Grounds, it's spelled with a Z.
Okay.
Yeah. Stomping Grounds on Facebook cool. or Instagram. Or you can follow me personally on Facebook or Instagram. On Instagram, I'm OG Jules.
I love it.
Yes. So find me on there.
Nice, 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 nice. Thank you so much, Jules, for being with us today. I really appreciate us, you know, giving your voice and lending your time to us. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in again. Again, if you're a new listener, thank you and for joining us. Every time the numbers go up, I am so blessed and so happy to see I don't know where you guys are at, but thank you for tuning in. If you are an old-time listener, thank you for the continued support. Thank you for coming back episode after episode and just caring to listen to what is being shared. As always, I just hope you get something out of it. It's just like tuning in and you're listening to your friend talk about things, or you're listening to your friend talk to someone. And again, hopefully you feel that system of support, even if it's just through an app and you're just listening to some voices. So if you want to keep up with the podcast, you can always go to lifecopeapp.podomatic.com or LifeCope LLC on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to keep up with me, nancyiperez.com. I'll catch you later. See ya. Bye.